The Tarlhurst End Podcast.
Read the blog
on thetarlhurstend.com.
Hello and welcome to the Tarlhurst End Podcast Extra in association with Get Reading for Thursday, the 15th of December, 2016. My name's Dan Wimbush, editor of thetarlhurstend.com, and I'd like to be joined, as always, by Get Reading's Reading reporter, Charles Watts. Charles, hello, how are you?
Dan, I'm very well, mate. How are you?
Yeah, not so bad, thank you. Lots to get to, so let's delve straight into it. Tuesday night, Elland Road, 2-0 defeat for Reading. Was that a fair scoreline, and how did Reading play, in your opinion?
Yes, I think it was a fair scoreline. I thought Leeds were a better side, always looked more dangerous, looked more likely to score. As we all know, and all the fallout that's followed from it, you know, Reading had plenty of the ball, 77%, I think it was, wasn't it, at the end of the stats. But most of that was in areas that didn't hurt Leeds. Leeds were quite happy to let them have the ball and knock it around between defence and sort of defensive midfield. And, you know, Reading seemed like they could have done that for about four games in a row and not scored a goal. They never really looked like troubling Leeds, and Leeds were deserving winners.
Is there any sort of pattern emerging? Are Reading away from home, maybe? Because the results on the road, aside from, you know, a fantastic win at Wigan, they've not been fantastic. I mean, if they hadn't scored that very late goal at Rotherham, we'd be sat here talking about a bit of a barren run. Is there something that just doesn't seem to click away from home?
I wouldn't say so. I mean, I haven't really thought to myself before Leeds that, you know, Reading aren't very good away from home. I've seen them win at Barnsley very well when Barnsley were flying. Obviously, they had the good win at Wigan. I think this thing is very hard to win away at the Championship. I mean,
yeah.
How many teams have come to the Maddstad this season and gone home with their tails between their legs? There's plenty of them, isn't it? It's just, it's very hard to win away from home, whatever league you're in football. So you're obviously going to struggle to pick up lots of wins unless you're a Newcastle or something like that, you would expect to go and turn everyone over week in, week out. So no, I wouldn't be too concerned about it. I just think I just saw on Tuesday, injuries and suspensions played their part. I thought Reading really, really missed Danny Williams midfield with John Swift out as well. Obviously, there was just no driving force or connecting the midfield and the attack. There was very similar players in that midfield. So you had George Evans, Liam Kelly, Joey, and it was all very sort of sideways, backwards. There was no one really making an incisive dart forward to get forward to the midfield, and I thought Reading suffered because of that.
Yeah, it really highlights the need to sort of strengthen offensively, even if that strengthening just does, as you say, come from within. When, you know, the likes of John Swift, who we'll come on to in a minute, is nearing a return. Danny Williams, obviously a couple of games left of his ban. Well, is it one game left he's got now?
One game left.
Yeah, one game left of his ban as well. So, yeah, the reinforcements are coming. It was nice to see Jan Kermit and get some more minutes under his belt as well, because both times he's come on this week, I think he's made a real difference.
They were much improved on Tuesday night when he came on. I think if he's fit enough, I'm not sure if he will be for this Saturday, because the way Yap was talking afterwards, he was still very much managing his knee to make sure it was, you know, they didn't put it through too much too soon. But if he is fit enough, even just play 60 minutes, I'd start him on Saturday, because I think it's time that Dom had a little bit of a rest. Obviously, he's been in, he's played, I think, five starts in a row now. He's done all right. You know, got his goal, and he's still sort of working hard for the team. It's not just quite coming off, and I think it'd be quite handy for Dom just to maybe come out of the firing line a little bit this Saturday. And I think a physical game like Blackburn, which it will be, that Jan would offer the team more.
Yeah, and I think there's got a few days, haven't they, between the game after that. So good chance, if they are worried about him, to give him a chance to recover. So they come away from Elland Road empty-handed, but almost the game itself was almost overshadowed at the end by a bit of a row that sort of broke out between Yap Stam and Leeds, and Gary Monk's had his say. Where did this whole row come from? Where do you stand on it?
It came from me asking Yap afterwards.
So you're the troublemaker.
I am the troublemaker in this case, yeah. It was we were just chatting about the game, as we always do after getting his points. And I said, said to him, I think it was something along the lines of, you know, it was funny, the Leeds fans were almost goading you for being boring with their boring, boring chants and stuff. And he just launched into one. It was obviously really, really annoyed him during the game.
He pushed his button.
Emotions were kind of high after it. And it was just bubbling under the surface. And when I mentioned that was it. He was just off, and as he was saying it, I was thinking to myself, oh my word, this is going to boil over a little bit when this gets out, and it has done. Obviously, Leeds fans took it badly, some laughed at it, and, you know, Gary Monk, like you said, had his say back now, so he felt a little bit embarrassed for Stam for the comments. And, you know, I wonder if he sort of spoke to Stam about it now, and he'd had, you know, wasn't straight after the game, and, you know, wasn't disappointed with defeat, if he might have worded things a little bit differently, because I thought it was a little bit harsh, maybe.
I think he needs to pick his battles. I don't think that was one to sort of an occasion to launch into.
Anyone. No, I mean, there's obviously no love lost between him and Leeds, given his old United days. They were doing him a fair bit of stick during the match. And obviously, you know, Stan's a very strong-willed kind of guy. I'm not sure he's going to be too bothered by the fallout that comes his way from it. So he's just gone into it. I mean, you do have a tendency when they have lost games before this season, Stan, he doesn't take defeats that well, like all good managers do. And he just seems to sort of lose his calm persona for a little bit then when we were talking about that. But like I said, I highly doubt he's going to be too bothered by it.
Well, a few storylines coming out of the game as well. On the injury front, no Jordan Obita. What's the situation with him at the moment?
Thigh injury. He had a scan after the... who did plan Saturday?
Chef Wednesday.
He felt it during the game. He went and had a scan and showed a little bit of damage. And sort of 1.5 to 2 weeks he thinks he'll be out for.
So
which is
back.
A big blow because I really don't like seeing Tyler Blackett at left back. I just don't think he's a left back. When he's played in that central three on the left hand side, I thought he looked really, really good. But as soon as he goes back to left back, he just looks really nervous. He doesn't really offer anything going forward. And I just don't think it's his position. I think I also think that 4-3-3 is not Reading's best formation. I know that Yapstam disagrees with me, and he's going to continue his 4-3-3. I think when everyone's fit, but I think they're perfectly suited to the wing backs and three at the back. And it's going to be a bit of a shame, I think, when we revert back to seeing 4-3-3 week in, week out.
Yeah, that system seems to free up both Blackett and Obita to be at their best. But what about on the rest of the injury front? We still got question marks, as mentioned, over John Swift and Stephen Quinn. How are they both getting on?
Stephen Quinn, I'm not too sure. I think they're not too sure either. It's just a case of seeing how it goes. He's had the injection. They're waiting for it to settle down and see when he feels it's strong enough to get back out on the training pitch. And then they're going to put him through the paces to see how he sort of stands up to it. John Swift, Stam said on Tuesday night that he reckons he would be back available in 2 weeks. So I think you're probably looking at what's the game just after Boxing Day.
They've got Bristol City, I know, away on the 2nd. They've got Norwich and Fulham over Boxing Day in the 28th, haven't they?
So I think maybe you're possibly looking at the Fulham game. Maybe you probably think the Boxing Day game would be a little bit too soon, but possibly that Fulham game or certainly the Bristol City game. I think if everything sort of continues to go on track with his recovery, then that will be when Swift is back available. What a massive boost that will be as well.
So he's going to want to prove his fitness for that big game at Old Trafford. But I just wanted to get your very quick thoughts. The ticket details released. Reading offering to subsidise the away fans' travel if you're a member or a season ticket or half-season ticket holder, because Manchester United have set the pricing for adults at £37 to £43.
Shameful.
I look awful, isn't it?
Absolutely shameful. I'm literally writing a piece right now about it, and I've got the word shameful and greed right out there, because I just think it's pathetic. For Manchester. I mean, how on earth can Reading, you know, every penny counts at Reading, let's face it, and they are having to subsidise their fans to go and watch them play one of the richest sports franchises, if that's what you want to describe them as, in the world. He was spending £300,000 a week on Wayne Rooney and spent £100 million in the summer to sign Paul Pogba, and they're charging Reading fans up to £45 to go and watch an FA Cup third round tie, where they're already having to travel out the country, and for a 12:45 kickoff. It's outrageous. It really is. Fair play to Reading. It's a really great gesture what they're doing. It's cost them a lot of money to do it. Obviously, they'll be getting a lot of money in terms of ticket sales because they get half the tickets for an FA Cup, half the sort of money generated from FA Cup, which is great. But it's still, you know, they're putting their hands in their pocket and subsidising the fans. So well done, Reading FC. Fantastic gesture. But
Man
United, shameful.
Utterly. I couldn't agree more. And I'm sure everything in your article, I think we'll have some pieces up on thetirelessthan.com as well. Just, as you say, disgusting. There is no justification whatsoever other than to line the pockets and make the profits. Because, what can I say? I mean, we spoke to Adam Benson, Mark Bradley, a few weeks ago, and we were talking about how Reading really hate to put up any sort of ticket prices, but it's so vital to their income stream. And like you say, for Manchester United, who are making, 120-odd million in Premier League money? Bonkers. But, what can you do? And good for Reading, as you say. Speaking of finances as well, let's move on. How is the proposed takeover of Reading progressing? Has there been any news or updates this week?
I haven't heard much for a couple of days on it, other than when I was told that the Chinese had met with the Football League and all things were looking fine on that front. So it's a case of just getting it over the line now. I mean, it was close. I was getting whispers on Saturday that people were very hopeful that it was fairly imminent. Obviously, we've heard nothing yet from the club in terms of any confirmation. But last I heard that things were progressing well. The Football League hadn't run into any problems with the Football League, and that things were very close to being done. But you know, until anything is signed and these things are, it's just impossible to predict a time frame. I wouldn't want to, because if you say when you think it's going to be done and it doesn't happen, then you look like you've got it totally wrong. But I mean, you just look back to what happened with the Omanis when they were about to buy the club. I mean, it was pretty much all done and dusted by the signature, and then it all collapsed at the last minute. And so until that form is signed, which it hasn't been yet, then you just don't know. We're just gonna unfortunately have to wait patiently to see what happens at the top of the club.
Not heard any more whispers coming up from Humberside at Hull.
No, not at all. I mean, I think obviously I saw they were spotted up there, weren't they?
Rolls Royce, whatever it was.
Yeah, with Alam. But since then, they've been to the Football League. I know their advisors have been down here, left, right, centre, and are still down here. And you know, I don't think, it certainly doesn't seem like anything's happening with that Hull. I mean, just on a business sense of it, you'd be mad to buy a Hull now, wouldn't you? It cost you God knows how many, much more money. They're going to go down, let's face it.
Yeah.
Why would you buy now anyway? You'd wait 6 months and get them for half the price, and it just wouldn't make no sense to buy a Hull now. So I'd be very surprised if anything happens, anything sort of threw a spanner in the works in that regard. But you never know. Like I said, until these things until they're actually signed and money's transferred, then you just got to remain patient, unfortunately.
Well, it might be linked to the takeover, it might not be, but there have been a couple of transfer rumours floating around, nothing major. But Jordan Much from Crystal Palace, any serious interest there, do you think?
I think so. I wouldn't be, I think they're certainly sort of monitoring that situation. I'd keep your eye out for that one in January.
Okay, very, very, very cryptic there. I like it. I mean, what would he bring to the side?
He's a goal scoring midfielder. Well, he was a goal scoring midfielder before it all sort of, his career stalled a little bit at Palace, hasn't he? I mean, he scored goals certainly at Cardiff. He was a very good player. Still young, 25, I think. And you know, I think they do lack something in midfield. They do lack a lot, as we've seen at the moment without Swift and when Williams wasn't in there on Saturday. It's very sort of samey in that midfield position. So, and we don't know what's going to happen with Danny Williams in January either. Obviously, he's out of contract in the summer, and if a decent bid does come in for him, and Reading aren't going to get him tied down to any deal, then he could, you know, conceivably be off in.
Yeah, he's a nice small chunk of change either on the contract front.
No, exactly. And so he could be off in a couple of weeks' time. So, you know, and if that is the case, then they're going to need someone in to replace him. And you know, I think they have certainly identified Jordan Much as a possibility with that. So whether Palace agree to it, whether Reading can get it done, I mean, I'm sure he's on decent wages at Selhurst Park. So far from being done, but I think Reading would be keen to get him over it.
Any other irons in the fire that you've heard of? Idris Kanu, who's another one. That seems to make a lot of sense from bringing him into the academy if they can try and get that one done from Aldershot.
Possibly. I think, I don't want to say that Hogan at Brentford is a possibility, but I think if a takeover is done, then that's the sort of player that they could well be trying to sign in January.
That would take a lot of money, though.
It would take a lot of money, and it would. You know, I don't think it's not. I'm not saying it's a definite, but I think there is sort of interest.
There's admiration, at least.
If you know, a lot of things would have to fall in place for that to happen, and no, I wouldn't. You know, it'd blow everything out of the water that Redden have ever done before. So, but I think if there is money available, then that would be the sort of player that they would be looking at in January to try and get some goals. But you know, would Brentford even consider selling, and would Reading, even with the takeover, have enough money to prize him away? It would be a massive statement and tender, something we've never sort of seen before from Reading. So,
yeah, a few Brentford fans that I was speaking to that are sort of in the know and close to the club are talking, they're sort of saying, you're looking at almost McCormack money already. their sort of thinking for him. And obviously they drive a hard bargain over there. They're very keen on their statistics and things like that. Yeah. So they're not going to be mugged off by any club, are they?
No, it would be a huge surprise if they could get it done. But, and I'm not saying, you know, at all that they wouldn't, that I think they will. It's just that is the sort of player who would be of interest, obviously, if there is money available to spend. But that's it's a world away from actually getting any deal done.
Okay, well, it's a very much a wait and see. Well, let's talk short term then. The trip up to Blackburn on Saturday. They're a team very indifferent. They've got a couple of familiar faces in Danny Guthrie and Hoback Pan knocking around the club as well. Mm-hmm. A bit of as we said earlier, there's no easy away games in the Championship. Cliche watch. But this on paper, certainly, on the face of things, is a bit easier for Reading than trips to Elland Road and Craven Cottage in recent weeks. Are you hoping Reading will get back to winning ways in this one?
You'd hope so, but I've got bad memories of Blackburn. I don't think I've seen Reading win there. I mean, even dating back to the Coppell days and the final day of
that 3-0.
06-07. Obviously, last year was horrible at the end of the season, wasn't it? Final day, the 3-1. It was just summed up the last few months of the season, that one.
There's been a couple of nil-nils as well. I remember Gunter getting booked for diving.
Same referee that gave a penalty against him on Tuesday night, actually.
Oh, fun.
Chris Gunter, not high up on his Christmas card list, that referee. Believe me, I won't say a word that he described him to me as after the game. But
they're a family-friendly show, Charles.
Yes, he's not his favourite referee. On paper it's a decent game. I think I haven't really seen much from Blackburn, but I've seen I saw a few of their players and everyone's saying that performances have been an awful lot better than the results recently. So I think Reading, they're not going to go out there and just brush them aside. Certainly, again, they're going to be about Danny Williams. I think midfield-wise, they're struggling to click at the moment without, as I said, they're pretty samey. I don't know if Sam Stam can sort of work on that before Saturday and find a way of making them look a little bit more penetrative going forward, especially from midfield, whether maybe you can move GMAC more into more of a central position or Beerens more into a central position and do something to get someone with a little bit more attacking sense on the ball in a central position. I'm hoping they're going to go up there and get the points, because it'd just be a good, they've tended to react well to disappointment so far this season, and obviously Tuesday night was a bit of a disappointment. Everyone was a bit down afterwards, and hopefully they can continue that theme of responding well and go up there and get 3 points on Saturday.
Yeah, fingers crossed. One thing it should be is an open game, judging by Blackburn's recent games. I mean, you've got three 3-2s in the last five games, and in between that a 1-0 squeaky win at Newcastle and a 1-1 home draw with Huddersfield. I mean, they scored twice against a good Brighton side in midweek as well. So with Danny Graham and I can't remember Gallagher's first name. Is it Sam Gallagher?
Yes. I mean, they've got goals in their team. There's no doubt about that. They've got people who can score, and they've got some good wingers. They've got Ben Marshall as well, haven't they? He's a very good player. He's caused Reading plenty of problems in the last couple of years. There's certainly no pushovers by any means, and Reading will have to be on their game. I think they're certainly going to have to show an awful lot more going forward than they did on Tuesday night if they want to get something. But hopefully they will show a little bit more than they did on Tuesday night, because I haven't seen performances like that for a fair while. We saw a few of them at the start of the season when they were getting used to the style of play and everything like that, where they're a little bit sluggish. But since then, I haven't really seen too many. It was like a bit of a throwback on Tuesday night. I mean, it kind of was in the first half on Saturday as well against Sheffield Wednesday, but they improved after the break. And I'm hoping if he starts Jan Kermigan up front and maybe gives him a little bit more support, possibly with GMAC in a more central position, then they can certainly cause Blackburn problems and will have enough to get 3 points.
Well, fingers crossed. I mean, one of the worrying things for me is how Reading seem to respond to going behind, because there's, a little bit of a worrying trend emerging. I think it's 9 league games now under Stam. They've fallen behind. They haven't won any of them. They've picked up 3 draws. I know there's been a comeback in the cup. But aside from that, you do sort of worry about Reading's ability to claw themselves back into games. And
I can't imagine that it's just Reading, though. I bet you everywhere in the Championship.
First goal is key.
It is massively important, that first goal. That's, like I said, Reading have certainly struggled. They've had done before. I remember when Atkins was here, there was a stat like that thrown around all the time with Atkins' team, wasn't it? It is just very hard when you fall behind the first goal.
Especially,
it's so, so important.
I mean, Brian McDermott teams had that benefit of having firepower. They could bring on a Lafondre, a goal scorer. Reading, as we said, they just don't have... Their strength at the moment is in containing and controlling, not chasing and pressing.
Yeah.
So that's one thing. And hopefully, as I said, if they do make the right additions in January, that will change. But again, tough place to go, Lancashire, Saturday, winter. Again, I'm throwing the cliches left, right, and centre out there. So fingers crossed they'll get it done. Prediction league wise, it's all changed since we spoke a couple of weeks ago. Handbags Harris has been on a tear. He's got 3 out of the last 4 games, 100% spot on. He now sits 1 point behind Johnny. So Johnny's on 23, Handbags is on 22, Westy is on 17. I prop up the bottom of the table on 16, and you're sandwiched nicely in the middle, Charles, on 20. So you are currently 3 points off the top.
Okay.
How are you going on Saturday? I have gone for a 3-1 Reading victory. Westy's gone 1-1, and I've not got predictions yet from the other two. Actually, no, I have. Handbags has gone for 1-1. So a couple of 1-1s in there.
I will say I am going to go for a... Is it really bad if I go for a Blackburn win?
No, not at all. Got to do what you got to do in this league. Just ask Johnny Williams.
I might go for a Blackburn win, unfortunately. I think Blackburn might nick this. I just think that Reading, I'm worried about their goal scoring, and I'm worried about the midfield options. I think Blackburn might take it 2-0.
Okay. Your prediction duly noted. I'll get to Johnny's and add it to the tally as well. But Charles, thank you very much for joining us. This will probably be the last show before Christmas, I imagine, between ourselves, unless something utterly dramatic happens. But thank you for your company the whole year long. I've sent you over a ballot for our Tarlhurst End Christmas Podcast Awards.
Indeed, you have. Yes, I've seen that. I will get that filled in and sent back to you.
Yeah, we'll read out your answers on the show. We're going to tape it in town on Sunday. We'll get a big crew down there and it's some tough award categories this year. It's the Hal Robson Canoe Underachiever Award is for once wide open. I mean, only in so much as I can't think of too many people that are underachieving, so that'll be interesting.
No, it is going to be a tough one. I did have a quick look at it this morning, actually, when I came in and saw that email. And I did think to myself, it's going to actually be quite hard to go through these. It's going to take a little bit of thought.
Yeah, and that is a good thing. So stay tuned for that on Sunday as well. As mentioned, this will probably be the last podcast extra of the year. We'll be back in the new year. And as mentioned, that Christmas special will be out on Sunday. Following that, we have our two-part interview with Jem Karachan. So definitely keep an eye out for that as well. And a big thank you to everyone who's committed their support and time to the Patreon campaign at patreon.com/thetarlhurstend. You can follow Charles on Twitter @Charles_Watts. And of course, head over to getreading.co.uk for all the latest news. Just because this show goes on hiatus doesn't mean Charles will. And of course, head over to thetarlhurstend.com for lots more bits and bobs and opinions and analysis. I said, Charles, have a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And fingers crossed, we're back here after the New Year talking about Reading, marching on to Old Trafford with a good league run under their belt.
Indeed, thank you. Have a good Christmas, and to all the listeners out there, have a great Christmas and New Year.
Absolutely. Right, adios. In the meantime, and safe trip tomorrow.
Cheers, mate.
Cheers, take care.
Bye.
Get social with the boys.
Find them on Twitter
@thetarlhurstend
and facebook.com/thetarlhurstend.